Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1.
Well, as the Cabinet is considering a ban on indoor dining in Dublin, we're heading now to New York City, where bars and restaurants are still only allowed to have customers eating outdoors. There is a plan to allow indoor dining, but only from the 30th of September and only at 25% capacity of the premises. Now, some experts believe that this is one of the factors that's helped New York City stabilise its infection rate. Dennis Nash is Distinguished Professor of Epidemiology at the School of Public Health in City University of New York, and he joins us from there now. Dennis, first of all, we all remember the scenes in New York earlier in the springtime when you were overrun with cases. You had a very difficult time. How have things stabilised in New York since?
Well, I think there have been a number of contributing factors. The biggest one is the physical distancing and masks that went into widespread use in the spring here in New York City. First with very strict lockdown orders, and then slowly opening up, but a very prevalent mask use all around the city. And then the next big thing is that that was followed up by a long period of outdoor, nice outdoor weather where people could do a lot of their activities outside, socializing outside.
And how many cases are you having a day there now?
Well, it's probably between 200 and 300 a day, maybe 150 to 300 a day. I've been counting about 2,000 a week here in New York City, which is really, it sounds like a lot, and it is a lot. It's much less than what we were having in the spring. And it's been pretty steady, about that 2,000 a week. And I do think there's a lot we need to understand about where those 2,000 cases a week are coming from. That's work ahead of us that we have to do here. But we're in a really good place compared to where we were in the spring, and slowly opening things up. And as you mentioned, indoor dining, and also we're reopening our public school system here in the city in the coming weeks. These things will be sort of happening around the same time, and it's going to be very important for us to keep a close eye on what's happening.
And how has outdoor dining actually worked with bars and restaurants? Have bars remained shut, those that can't cater for outdoors? And what about the restaurants that have actually been doing it? Are people saying that that is one of the reasons why there has been a drop in numbers?
Well, I think the fact that we haven't had indoor dining or indoor drinking has really helped keep the numbers low. This indoor dining and drinking is, by definition, has to happen without a mask. And these are the very kinds of situations that can contribute to some of the super spreading events that we've seen result in large numbers of cases. So I do think it's been a pretty significant factor in keeping things low here in New York. How it works here, you can see all kinds of different models. A lot of places have had to close because the level of business just can't be sustained at these lower levels. But a lot of restaurants are doing takeout. You can call ahead, or you can order over the internet and have things delivered. You can pick them up, and they're keeping business going that way. Small numbers of tables outside, and even some of the bars and restaurants that don't have indoor space or outdoor space, you can still go to a bar in some places where I am in Brooklyn and get a takeaway pint or cocktail or something like that.
Mm. So what's the feeling now ahead of introducing or allowing indoor dining and drinking on the 30th of September? Is there apprehension?
Well, I guess it would depend on who you talk to. If you ask me, I'm a little bit leery of it happening, right around the same time as the school's reopening. I think that it's really important that if we are going to try to reopen the schools for about 1.3 million kids around this city, that we want to do it as safely as possible and not have it, having around the same time where there could be another big contributor to community transmissions. And I'd like to see these schools have a fighting chance of making it. So I have a little apprehension about the indoor dining myself.
It will be good news maybe though for, you know, some restaurateurs and bar owners that have been shut for so long. I'm just wondering about New York City. We all know it as a busy, bustling, cosmopolitan city 24/7. What's it like at the moment? For example, here in Dublin City, it's eerily quiet. People are working from home and a lot of bars and cafes and restaurants are suffering greatly in the city centre. Is it a similar picture, you know, in Manhattan?
I think it was even over part of the summer. A lot of wealthier New Yorkers, especially those living in Manhattan, left the city, and it was eerily quiet. But since the end of the summer and the beginning of the school year, it really has felt like it's picked up a lot around the city. Lots more people out. The weather's still really fine and really nice here, and my favorite time of year in New York, actually. And so there's it feels more and more bustling now than it did before.
You say that, just going back to the point about opening the doors, allowing people into restaurants and bars, albeit only a quarter of capacity, do you still feel that even with that spread out capacity of 25%, that there is the potential for a super spreader scenario in these buildings?
Well, I guess you have in New York City and possibly Dublin too, I'm not sure, but in New York City, you have to consider the scale with which things happen, right? I mean, we have, tens of thousands of restaurants, maybe thousands of them will be open doing indoor dining in the coming weeks, albeit at 25% capacity. And we're talking probably tens of thousands of New Yorkers who will be going, you know, every day to take part in the indoor dining activities. And so, while the risk of any one restaurant on any one day might be low, the risk of all of these restaurants and all of these New Yorkers doing it simultaneously does greatly increase the risk of super spreading. And that is the concern that I'm thinking about and that I worry about here in a city like New York where there's such scale. And there's a steady level of ongoing low-level transmission happening that we want to keep it low, but it could potentially ramp up if we're not careful.
Okay, well, finally, before you go, with your epidemiology hat on, you, as I said, here in Ireland, and look, this is COVID is the same everywhere, but there are people in the hospitality sector here listening this evening wondering when are they going to be able to safely open their doors again and not worry about another shutdown or lockdown. At what stage of suppression or of dealing with the pandemic can we be comfortable with indoor dining in indoor settings in New York, Dublin or wherever?
Yeah, so I guess that's a really great question, and it does require, you know, more than just an epidemiologic perspective to answer, right? I mean, there are so many considerations in making these kinds of decisions. Where I'm coming from with indoor dining in New York right now is you know, how it interfaces and interlocks with some of the other steps that we're taking to open up, such as schools. But I think key prerequisites are that you have to know your epidemic and you have to know where your new cases are coming from. And if you make a new step like opening indoor dining or indoor drinking, you need to be able to detect a couple of things. You need to be able to detect whether or not there's increased transmission as a result of that pretty quickly so that you can quickly take measures to rein it in. And then the other thing is you need to be able to take steps to protect those workers, those hospitality workers, the bartenders, the waiters, the waitresses and restaurant and bar staff, as they are going to be on the ones that are most likely going to be affected the most by this opening up. So I think those two things really need to be in place before you could consider doing it.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. Thank you so much indeed. Dennis Nash, Distinguished Professor of Epidemiology at the School of Public Health City University in New York.